So today, I would love to share about parenting. And this is something that's been really close to my heart recently, obviously, just since becoming a mother. And probably, like I'd say in any of these episodes, I am no expert in this. I don't claim to be. This is just my experience through it. And I feel like we can learn so much about our Creator as a father through parenting. You know, our Creator, He encompasses a lot of different roles. You know, He's a friend, He's a counselor, He's a lover, and He's a father. And so that's why I feel like this topic is important, because we are modeling who He is as a father to our kids. That's massive. I just want to go through kind of what we've learned along the way and things that we've established with Shepherd, because we're doing things a little bit differently than what we've seen, which could feel a little bit intimidating at first, but it's been really freeing for us and really beautiful to watch it unfold and to watch him grow and flourish and us to see the fruit of it. So specifically, I want to talk about gentle parenting, or respectful parenting, maybe, as it's been known as well. I feel like to most Christian parents that it might come across as really passive and almost not biblical, really. I think first we have to look at, how does God lead us as a father? Like, who is he as a father? To me, I see him as someone who keeps his word, someone who lovingly corrects me, someone who listens to me, who's there for me, even if I don't always do the right thing, someone who would never physically harm me, and someone who's gentle and respectful. It's been wildly warped thinking that something gentle and respectful isn't biblical, when that is who he is. And obviously children need a different level of care and attention than adults do. They deserve the same respect as us. They are in the purest, most precious and beautiful form, truly just straight from heaven into our arms. And it's our job to keep that intact. The most honoring thing we can do for them is to respect them as their own person. So for Louie and I, when I was pregnant, we both had an idea of what was most important to us as far as parenting. What was most important to me was that there was a very, very safe space to show emotions, that big emotions were not wrong. For Louie, his big thing was that they would be able to come to him to tell the truth and to not feel shame about that. So I think just starting there, understanding God as a father, understanding what's important to you as a parent, and understanding our children on a biological level, there is so much I feel like I definitely did not understand about, like, how children grow and what they need at certain stages of their life, and understanding that as a baby and infancy and when they're toddlers and as they grow, they are actively trying to understand boundaries. They're also sometimes trying to get our attention, and ultimately, like, they are trying to feel safe. My son right now is a toddler, he's 2.5, and we are in the active stage of him learning boundaries. What can I do? What can I definitely not do? What can I do with my body? What can I do with other children? How can I speak to people? Like, he is learning this all for the first time. And ultimately, like I said, he's trying to feel safe. And safety definitely does not look like no bounds. It looks like safe, loving boundaries. So some of the things that we do with Shepherd that maybe would look a little weird or is different than what we had normally seen is, from day one, fresh baby, we always told him what we were going to do, specifically when it came to his own physical body. So if we were going to change him day one, we would tell him, hey buddy, we're going to change your diaper. And okay, here, I'm taking it off now. Okay, I'm going to put your clothes back on. Like, always telling him what you're going to do. Because truly imagine, as an adult, if someone would do that to you with no explanation at all, it would be bizarre and awful. And it goes back to that piece of respecting them as we would someone our age, because their capacity to understand even day one is incredible and all part of his perfect design. But we always told him what we were going to do, even if we'd leave the room or we leave the house for a little bit. We tell him we'd be right back, how long we'd be gone. And I really think that built trust and a lot of understanding. Another one is, we never ask him a question that we know the answer to. It's actually funny now, like just listening, you know, just observing as adults speak to children, it is really funny how many questions we ask them that we know the answer to. It goes back to respect. Like, I'm not going to go up to Louie, be like, oh, who is that? Or what is that? When, like, you know, it's their grandma, or, you know, that's a truck, or, you know. And I think for kids, it could get a bit confusing when we aren't just outrightly telling them, that is a truck, the sky is blue. Like, they are learning, and just as we wouldn't ask each other that, I think it's important that we do the same with kids. And I've heard it even known as sports casting. And this makes it a lot easier to understand it too, where, like, if Shepherd is playing and he's involving me in that, instead of asking him questions that I know the answer to, I can just point out exactly what is happening, just like sportscaster would. They're just pointing out the literal facts of what's happening. If he comes and he hands me a blue car, I'm not going to ask him what it is or what the color is. I can say, oh, you handed me a blue car. Or if I feed him food, I'm not going to ask him, did you just take a bite? I'm just going to say, oh, you took a big bite of food. So he can understand me and understand what's happening around him. And this one is a big one, but we don't tell him good job. Yeah, I know that maybe sounds strange, but before him, basically every interaction I would ever have with a child, I would tell them good job. Having more of an understanding of it now, we definitely encourage him and acknowledge exciting things that he does. The biggest thing about good job, and I know that there's worse things you can say to a kid other than good job, obviously. The thing about that one is, as I've learned more about the motivator behind things, so keeping it intrinsic versus extrinsic, meaning I want to keep his motivation inside of himself and not to please others, being extrinsic. So he's going to eat his food because he wants to eat his food, not because he's trying to get a good job out of mom and dad. Or he's going to put away his toys because he wants to put away his toys, not because he's going to get a good job from mom and dad. I think understanding this is important because a lot of us deal with people pleasing now in adult life, and it's got to come from somewhere. And through the age of 7, like, children are operating in their subconscious. Everything that we're doing is going to reflect in adulthood. So you look at patterns in adulthood that probably comes from infancy, toddlerhood, and through that age of 7, where you are learning the patterns that you will take with you through the rest of your life. So while good job doesn't seem harmful, we just have to think about, like, what is it teaching them? And so instead of good job, we always say, you did it. You did it. We're keeping it on his side, motivated by nothing else besides his own enjoyment. You did it. We also don't force him to share. It's like, if I'm sitting here reading a book, if someone would just come up and want to take it, it would be like, no, I'm not done with my book. I can let you borrow it after, but I'm going to finish my book. This is my book. It's strange when you think of it like that, how much we force our kids to give up things that belong to them. Like, if Shepherd is in a groove and he's working on something, because we know that play as a child, it's work. Their brains are working so hard to understand and to expand, and to disrupt it and interrupt him by making him give that up, it's strange. Why do we do it? Because we've always seen that, I guess, and like, you must share, you must give it up. If it's not his toy and it's somebody else's and they are needing it back, then that's a totally different story. And we'll talk about that with him. But I think that also teaches ownership, and it's showing him too to not just go up and take things from other kids also, because that's their property. Even if he'll come up to me sometime and like take my pencil if I'm writing something, I try to just model it as I would want an interaction with another child to go for him, telling him like, nope, I'm not done with my pencil. I'll give it to you right when I'm done and you can have it after me. It's amazing how much he grasps that concept now. And he'll stand there and he'll wait for me to be done with my pencil, even if it's just 20 seconds, and then I'll give it to him, be like, thanks for waiting, here's your turn. And I think the other thing would be, we are always a safe space for his tears. Never ever would the words stop crying ever leave my mouth with him, especially since that was my biggest thing coming into parenthood. I wanted him to feel like he could express anything he needed to express, and I wasn't going to get mad at him for expressing it. If there is an action involved with the expression, like he's kicking us or hitting other people or whatever, that's a different story and we would address that later. But as far as just the emotions I'm talking about, I'm going to be there for him, and that is never bad. I would never discipline bad emotions because there's no such thing. We just allow him to move through it and to feel it and for him to know we're right here and we got you. And I want to talk about too what discipline looks like for us. And I'm sure all of this looks different for everybody because everyone's a different parent. Every child is different and unique. For us, discipline looks like sticking to our word. If we say we're going to do something, we follow through with it. Instead of saying no, if we don't want him to do something, we say, I can't let you blank. I can't let you hit. I can't let you throw. And stopping him that way and helping him understand it more rather than just no. And we've said no before, but when that comes, then the no is really a no. Like it's an emergency, like say he's running to the road and he knows the difference now. We allow for natural consequences. So say it's in the middle of winter and we're going to grandma's house, but he doesn't want to put his coat on. Okay, Shepherd, if you don't put your coat on, you can't go to grandma's house. And we've definitely had that before where we don't end up going places because he's not working with me on it. He knows that in order to go outside when it's cold, we're going to put our coat on. And if not, we can't go. Or even in order to move on to the next task, we have to put our stuff away. We're going to do that together first before we move on. If we can't do it, we can't move on. Also, one of the big things that Janet Lansbury, she's an incredible author and speaker about parenthood. She actually has a podcast called Unruffled, and it's incredible. And the concept of being unruffled is profound in interacting with children. If there is chaos or they are acting out, the art of being unruffled is incredible. And if he does something I don't want him to do, I've noticed that it doesn't become a pattern when I remain unruffled because he's not then looking to get a reaction out of me. And I've noticed he doesn't do it again because he didn't see a reaction versus if I would react and say we're having a day where he wants to connect with me, he wants to get my attention, he's gonna start doing the things that he knows gets my attention the most. And a big one that it's hard for me to even talk about it almost. It just like touches something in my heart that almost makes me wanna cry. I don't know. But spanking, that's a big one. And I'll just go back up to how I describe our Creator as a father. And one of those is he would never physically harm me. I know that. Spanking has really been a thing, especially amongst Christians or amongst believers. And that is hard for me to understand fully because if we knew him as a father, we would understand he would never do that to us. That's not how he disciplines us. And I just want to read this small bit from one of the best parenting books I've read, and I'll link all of these. But it says, please note that what many people refer to as spanking, I call hitting, because I think spanking is a dangerous euphemism that makes the act seem as if it's a viable form of discipline instead of a harmful act of violence. And I think that's so true, just the term spanking. If we had to say every time we would spank our kid that I hit them, even that, it feels different. And it's the same thing is what we're doing. Just beyond the psychological effects that I think long-term that spanking has, we look at the emotional side and like I said, they're looking to us as how God treats them as a father or as a parent and how confusing it would be for a child to try to understand why they are being hit by somebody who's supposed to protect them. And also the connection it's making between love and hitting and how, like I said, they're operating out of their subconscious, they're creating patterns and connections between things. There's a lot on this topic and I know it's a heavy one and I know that there's a lot of different viewpoints on it. This is my perspective on it and I think there are many, many, many ways that we can go about creating boundaries and giving our kids safe, proper discipline without physical harm. And the last thing I want to share is the fruit that we've seen from this. Over the last 2.5 years, the fruit that we've seen is secure attachment with us. Like he feels really safe and I can tell he feels safe because he easily feels safe with others. He respects us back, which yeah, what we give to our children is what we are going to be getting back. So if we're disrespecting our children, they will disrespect us back. They're only going to mirror us and model what we're doing. It truly is that. Like he genuinely wants to honor us back and our bond is unbreakable because of it. I think the biggest one is at this point, which points back to what Louis said his biggest thing was, is that Shepherd tells the truth. If he does something that he knows he's not supposed to do, if we ask him directly, did you do that? He always tells us the truth. And what I've found if our kids are having a rough time, or if they're just going a little crazy one day or in general, some things that have worked for us and that we can totally tell the difference if we don't implement is, one, we prioritize rest. We prioritize rest. I mean, like, for nap times, we don't skip nap times. And if that means we're not at a certain place at a certain time, that's fine. We, as a family, we prioritize our rest because we know how that affects us. Another one is removing artificial light and getting outside. The light that we have in our home throughout the day is just from the windows. For the most part, we never turn on lights and we don't do any TV or screens or anything. Getting outside alongside of that just really is grounding, especially to children. And balancing their blood sugar, and I know that that sounds maybe difficult to do for a child, but I mean, it is so shocking the difference. If I know that his blood sugar is out of balance, yeah, it's evident. A book that I read, The Glucose Revolution, has an incredible tip of the order you eat your food in, and having the veggie and protein come before the carb or anything else. It really is wild how if we feed Shepherd protein or veggie first, how much it actually regulates his mood because his blood sugar is regulated. And side note kind of with that too, anything we share about our children, whether that's online or with others, just really considering, like, if your spouse would share this about you, would you be cool with that? I think just since they're children, you know, we share about, like, their poopy diapers, or they didn't sleep at all last night. Oh, they're screaming in the car, blah, blah, blah. It goes back to respect. Would we say this about somebody else, like a friend? Like, if a friend's annoying us in the car, would we really post it on social media saying that they're annoying us in the car? No. And just considering, would I want somebody to share this about me? Like, if I poop my pants, would I want somebody to post it? No. And I know that's extreme, but, like, we have to respect them. And showing them in, like, vulnerable states like that probably isn't it. So I think that's all for now. This topic, yeah, it's really close to my heart, obviously, because that's the season that I'm in right now and will continue to be forever. I might do a separate one on just biological childhood and just their needs and secure attachment, like, as far as sleeping arrangements and routines throughout the day and what they look to between mom and dad and just what they actually biologically are looking for. But anyways, I hope this was enlightening in some way. I know it was to me when I first was listening and reading as I was pregnant, and it really has been so beautiful to actually see it play out and to see the fruit of it and to understand God as a father greater now that I'm a mom.